And welcome to the podcast of Things That Make You Think. I'm your host, Pablo Castellano, and we would appreciate you giving us a five-star rating at wherever you listen to this podcast. You can also leave us comments on my Parler account at Pablo DPC Show. I'm also on MeWe, Gab, at Pablo Things That Make You Think, Pinterest, and on Twitter at CandidatePC, and you can also get me on Gitter. Also wanted to let you know that we are listener supported. So if you do support the funds that we will collect by listener support will be used for college and educational funding. Every penny matters. The funds given out will be to the children and staff of the and family, as well as the community, as funds become available. If the funds go over $5,000 per year, it will be used to support even those in private schools or charter school needs in the community, as well as LaSalle High School in Miami, Florida, for students who may need scholarship to continue attending that private school, where I was also an alumni. So if you want to know how to support, just go to anchor.fm/Pablo-Castellano-support and leave us your donations there. We'll gladly use those for the college funds only. If you haven't heard, what I'm going to do is discuss today the interesting topic of what recently came out on Pfizer and the video, which you should be able to find on YouTube, on them saying that natural immunity is obviously the better way of protection. So I thought that the interesting thing is that if the individuals who are producing the drug at Pfizer believed that, yes, we need a drug for those who've already received herd immunity for them to be more protected, along with, I believe the drug is also indispensable for helping those who might have immune system issues by either having suppressed immune systems or suffering from even cancer, which can suppress the immune system too, which is usually what happens when you're in treatment for that condition. And that's when you're obviously going under some form of chemotherapy. So the true interesting thing about this new video is that we keep arguing in the media and in many other public forums that we no longer have to support the science of natural law. And what I mean by that is, before vaccines were ever invented, which you have to go back to the early 1800s. I mean, if you want to go back even further than that, that would be fantastic too. But we're going back to a time period when science was really coming out, technology was being evolving in Europe, and you know, they were discovering, you know, why things were happening through reason, proper analysis, and science. Because we were at a point in history when we were truly ruled in a different way. And so we had different forms of understanding. And as societies progress and advancements occur, we have to recognize those. So one of the truths about the human body, which you are taught in school, and depending upon the how or where the curriculum is taught in your school, public school system, or if you're doing charter schools or even homeschool. Generally, the science teaches that your body has an immune system. Your body will take a virus and react to it, creating cells that will do one of two things. One, the body will fight it through the immune system. And the other thing is, two, it also, for later purposes, when you've fought that condition, will keep it in a, let's just call it viral storage. I believe it's the T cell, is what they call it. And once they do, once it does that, that means that you're going to have a memory of that virus so that it can also attack it again, since it defeated it with that first attempt. So when viruses mutate, you have some form of immunity or way of fighting it through those mutations as well. Now, the argument seems to be that people think that there are individuals who are dumb or irresponsible. So I was looking at some tweets on expose Pfizer. And I find it interesting what is being said. So I would recommend that you just check it out. And we have one comment, and it's here. It says, it's from Aaron at ASEME7. I believe. Let me check. Yep. And it says, breaking at Pfizer scientists, COVID antibodies are probably better than the Pfizer vaccine. And it goes on to say, we like bread and taught to be like vaccine safer than actually getting COVID. Our organization is run on COVID money. And the video is up there for you to see. And it's an interesting video. Recommend you take a look at it. It's not saying that, you know, the shot isn't helping. It's just saying that, yes, your immune system is better with the antibodies if you've gotten COVID. Now, there's also a whistleblower there who speaks about how they weren't discussing some of the ways they've come up with the treatments. And then you also get individuals who don't like the fact that you may have think natural immunity is a thing. And some people have said, like here, see if I can find that comment again. Give me a second. I apologize for that. And when we're talking about, for example, the vaccine, I think vaccines are safe when they've been truly tested. So I do know that the first individuals that were being on the receipt end of getting the vaccine, because it was truly needed, and we're going to have to really look at the studies that come out of Israel, because they used Pfizer, and Sweden, because they are another study group, because you have to have control groups and a way of determining, well, what is the best result? What works the best so that in the event of another pandemic, we're not doing the same mistakes again? And it also depends what it is. So it could be another mutated virus of COVID, which could create another, technically, a pandemic on another viral strain. It could also be other issues that we have to monitor, other diseases that can come out, obviously. And it may not be COVID. It could be something totally new. So we need to start having the discussion. There are some articles that have come out from peer-reviewed articles saying, you know, what were the mistakes of the lockdown and what procedures would have worked out better. So we have to see who is going to agree or disagree with that, because even with a peer review, there are sometimes peer reviews that peers won't always agree with what the information there is saying or stating. So you're going to have, it's almost like when you see in the United States, the Supreme Court, you do see that the opinions are done both ways. One is what the ruling was, what the justices came up with, and then you get two different briefs. One saying why we believe the court is justified, and why we believe the court is not. But it gives the people an idea of where certain individuals may stand on the court, and all along with citing why they stand where they stand. Granted, there's been many cases where the courts have overturned things that I have an opinion on that should never have been overturned or done. And then there's things that I agree with their rulings, simply because when you read the Constitution of the United States, which is going to be another part of the segment that I'm going to get into in the second half, as to why is it important to understand the founding document in the United States Constitution. But mainly, the area that we need to really discuss in that is the Bill of Rights. So that'll be a topic for afterwards. But let's get back to the Pfizer issue and what do we really need to do? So we need to have the discussion. Science will not always agree with each other. And so therefore, it's going to be something that they have to discuss on principles and on the actual science. You can't say something is scientifically proven when it's still just a theory, when there's not enough data to support that side of the argument. It also depends what you're trying to support and do. I mean, if you come up with a theory saying, I believe the sky is blue, you might get a scientist that will say, that's too broad of a statement, because it may appear blue, but technically, these are the elements, these are the particles, this is the distribution of light. He's going into the actual science. Just to say that the sky is blue as a theory doesn't necessarily hold up to just the science. So we need to start looking at where are we getting all the data, all the facts. When you don't have enough facts, it's understandable to theorize. When COVID was first coming out, it was more of a scary type situation and a scare tactic, in my opinion, by the political entities, both local, state, and federal. They were basically getting advice, hearing all these statistics saying, if we don't take action, millions will be dead. And, you know, when you talk about in the millions, of course, that's a scary thing to think of. Because, you know, you're afraid of your child dying, your mom dying, you may pass because of this. And because a majority of the individuals in the United States, you know, have health issues too, because of either a growing elderly population or individuals who are growing and finding out that they have diabetes or other medical issues or those who are on cancer treatment. I mean, these are all factors that have to be taken into account. So I think we truly need to just really use reason and discuss more instead of the panicking. When you panic, it's not helpful. Also, I would like to ask that people who are saying that one side is right and one side is wrong and you're hurting me by not taking the vaccine, my opinion to that would be, if you believe that the vaccine is your cure or is going to safeguard your life, and those who have not taken it, they are not going to be more detrimental to you because you have a safeguard. They're using natural immunity, which means they're basing their life choice on natural immunity. And if their immune system's compromised in any way, they are at risk of dying. You should not be. You have gotten the vaccine. So to say that you are more likely to die or harm others is kind of a fallacy, because it's what you were told by the pharmaceutical companies, and there's three forms of the vaccine. I mean, if you're that worried, get all three vaccines if you believe in the studies that you may have done to find out, should I get them, the boosters, or whatever they're telling you. Now, a lot of individuals don't trust the fact that these vaccines came out so quickly. They want more time to consider. They may not be, oh, I don't want the vaccine. They just want time to consider, because there are three different vaccines out there. There's Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. All three have different side effects. All three came out on the market at different times. All three had to be pending approval. All three have to go through a process. And it's a rushed medicine. So then the studies have also come out showing in many cases that open areas, you're less likely to be one who can transmit the virus, because in an open area, depending on the transmissibility factors, it would take more than you just standing there 6 or 7 feet away to get it. You know, when they originally came out, they were saying you could get it through surfaces. And then you can get it through, you have to stand 6 feet apart because you can get it through respiratory exhalation, inhalation, and the microparticles. And then they came up with, you know, they kept coming up with all these different theories of transmissibility. Over time, we found out how long the disease can linger, what precautions needed to be taken. And we see that now in the changes that have happened worldwide. You know, you see barriers when you go to the supermarket between you and the cashier, you know, barriers between you and other individuals. But we should have had that up decades ago, because we knew that TB was transmittable, and we didn't have barriers when we work in some places, even at the grocery store. So if somebody has tuberculosis and they don't know it, or they don't care that they have it, and they give it to you because they accidentally coughed and you got it from that or other form of exposure, none of the employers and the federal government wasn't mandating all these barriers then. So it makes you consider these things. You know, there was science that says how TB is transferred and transmittable. There's other diseases like the flu. The flu is transmittable also, similar to how COVID can be transmitted. You know, it affects your respiratory system. It affects your body in different ways. And it has been around longer than COVID. And now we see that they're asking you to do boosters because there's going to be mutated viruses, the Delta strain. You've seen how many strains have come out. So the idea should be that we don't panic. We do our own research, because you have to take into account that when you look at how much it costs the drug manufacturers to get this drug to market so quickly, and it was in the billions of dollars, and you know that those billions of dollars are being paid for by somebody, because a company can't just say, oh, I have billions of dollars just lying in my account, let me take care of this for you. Doesn't work like that. They're being subsidized by taxpayer funding, government funding, some type of funding. They're getting the money from somewhere to produce this vaccine. So when they had the vaccine ready for shipping, the United States paid a considerable amount of money to the manufacturers. And you get the shot for free when it first became available. They weren't saying, oh, well, I'm sorry, we have to work with the insurance company so we can find out how much we're going to charge you for this first vaccine, trial vaccine. So everybody was really getting a trial drug when it first came out, even though it was approved as an emergency vaccine. So what I really want to do is go into the next segment of, we have to look at the benefits of knowledge, scare tactics, and what the government can and can't do. So, for all those people who are unkind in their words, because social media has allowed us to hide behind pseudonyms, just like when people would write books and say, well, I don't want to publish it in my name, I want to go by this name, so that they wouldn't be harassed or possibly jailed or whatever the case may be for needing a pseudonym. You know, and I think that's what the problem is too. There's too many people who are afraid to just say, hey, this is my belief, this is my name. And that's why nowadays it's the justice system kind of sucks too in the United States, because on Twitter and social media, even in the regular media, they're basically, even though they don't come out and say it, by the way they report, they're convicting the person in social media sometimes before they even have a fair trial. So I would just say, I understand that there's hatred, but we need to start loving each other a little bit more and watch what we say. I mean, for those of you who are not believers in philosophy or even religion, the Bible does have some good information in there as to how you should talk to each other, because words do hurt. They hurt spouses when you say something unkind, children, relatives, friends. So sometimes, and the thing is, once you say these things, they can't be taken back. You can apologize for it if you didn't mean it at a later date or time, or in anger these things were said, but it's just the same as Pfizer or any of the other companies. They're doing what they need to do for their profit margins. We may not always agree with how they get there. We think they are greedy, and we have many opinions on them. But sometimes it's easy to be the judge when you don't know all the facts, because there is a cost associated to everything. If the government makes it so impossible to bring a drug to market, unless they want it to come to market fast, in the case of COVID-19 vaccinations, a drug company has to wait years to go through each process of, this is what we believe the drug can be. Now we have to test it on an animal, or we have to test it. Now it's passed that test, and now we got to go to trials for human testing. Then we got to go from trials of human testing to getting authorization to market. And then once you market it, you've got to actually market it to a doctor. Say, hey, we came up with this new drug for depression, for this, for that, for the other, for the flu, you know, whatever the case may be. Unless it's a proven fact, there is a cost to everything. It doesn't matter where you get your products. There's a cost. The farmer can make a product, and he could keep it to himself and store it up himself. But even he would run out of storage and would have to do what, in some cases, the government has asked farmers to do when they have too much to assist the market. They destroy the crop. Market some, destroy the rest. Don't think that's right. They should find a way of getting it to the people who need it. So, and sometimes farmers have to because of situations in the market. So I just want some understanding and people to understand that the reason for this podcast is for you, for us to kind of start listening to each other, discussing. We can have disagreements, but we have to have some principled ideas and areas we can agree upon. Whatever we don't agree upon, we may not be able to work those out. And if it can't be worked out, then we just have to maybe not implement something there in that case. It may not be beneficial for either party, even individuals in the United States. So I would recommend you visit all the different places. Look at the Twitter feeds. Visit even Alliance Defending Freedom and Faith, as it is on their website too. And it says, undercover video reveals Pfizer scientists saying natural antibodies better than vaccine work for the evil corporation. But I don't think this work for, I wouldn't have put that there. I would have said they just believe that natural antibodies is better than the vaccine, which I think most people in the scientific community, if they could just sit down and say the truth, is natural immunity better than a man-made product in its attempt to provide immunity? Not natural immunity, to provide an immunity. So, you know, and having something that can protect you is different. You know, for example, you know, we wear clothes to protect us from the environment. And there are certain clothes we use to protect us from winter, because we need those forms of protection. So having something to protect you is not a bad thing. But if I was forcing that you wear only this, simply because I think this will protect you better and mandate you do this, that's beyond the scope of anybody's authority for the United States purposes, because nobody should mandate what you are to do unless you have chosen to enter in an agreement with those individuals. So that's what we have to look at. What rights do we have? What rights does the government have? And what rights do we sometimes concede, because it's not something we can totally do or control, and we would need that type of assistance. And that's going to be my next segment. So I'm going to take a quick break, let you listen to some additional information and announcements.
If you live in the United States and believe you as a person matter, that you count as a voice in this world, then do not give up your right to representation or your one vote. If as a person you hold true that one voice, one vote changes outcomes in election of representation, you're right. Consider this thought as a people, not only citizens. It is your right to have your representative to nominate the first non-member of Congress as your Speaker of the House in the United States of America in Washington, D.C. We the people matter. So who better than a truly independent person answering to the people, not the party? The independent arbitrator answers and works on behalf of the people's rights to one vote, one voice, one representative. People are independent individuals who do not want lobbyist groups, wealthy party fundraisers, a party's radical ideology, mob, or cancel culture only to speak on behalf of the people's house. We the people need a person who promotes only the freedom set forth from our founding of the Republic. Your right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that all are created equal, deserving a voice. I ask you to join me and support this new idea of thought and put my name, Pablo Castellano, alongside other nominees to debate on social media our new public square, since media outlets will not care to hear your voice on this choice. Let the idea of one voice, one vote, and one person to represent you as arbitrator for the United States Speaker of the House in Washington, D.C. Your representative works for you, so it is your one vote, one voice, one person that you must ask. If you want to show support for this and need more information as to steps for calls to action, you can email me at chooseyourspeakerindc@gmail.com. Choose, chooseyourspeaker, ndc@gmail.com. Welcome back. All right. So, like I said, this is the next segment that we're going to go, and we're going to discuss the interesting aspect of what the government can and cannot do and what the rights of the people are. So the easiest way to remember it, just like the concept of Jedi, which some people say it refers to Star Wars, which is true, but in this case, it's going to stand for the JEDI, for Justice, Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion. That's what we're being told all the time, that's what we're trying to do in the government, local, federal, in workplaces, and so forth and so on. All right? So I want to also give you an acronym that is usable because I think it's easy to remember. I did not develop this acronym. I do have to give full credit to Rick Green and his Patriot Academy. If you're ever interested, look up him or his website. He has a lot of interesting discussion points and topics. And he also has classes that are available for individuals to enroll in. And would definitely recommend enrolling or getting some of those classes. If you believe your knowledge on the Constitution, history of the United States, or any of that is needing a refresher, or just understanding who we are as a nation, I think there's a lot of stuff you can get from him and guests that he's had on not only his podcast, but also to his classes. And because of COVID, it's been limited attendance, but hopefully once we get past some of this, things will go back to normal. And maybe we'll see you there. And maybe I'll do a podcast from there as well. So the one acronym that I want to discuss here is LIFT, L-I-F-T, which basically stands for Limited Government, Individual Liberty, Free Enterprise, and Timeless Truths. So that's an acronym you can use to kind of understand the concept of government responsibilities and what a person who is your representative in Congress or even in the local government, what they should be using to determine, do they have a right to do these things? So before I get into that topic more in depth, and I think that's going to probably be a separate discussion, I think we need to first go over certain things too, like tricky questions that are used to get individuals to do things that the government necessarily may not have the right to do. And the tricky question or the speech that a lot of individuals use is, because of this, whatever it might be, we must do this. So when they say, because we have to increase the debt, we must do this so that this doesn't happen. You know, that's one of the debates going on, debt ceiling increase. We must take this COVID shot because of personal responsibilities for protecting others. You know, or they might even rephrase it as, because of the COVID-19 outbreaks, we must everybody get vaccinated. Because of the flu, everybody must be mandated to wear a mask. Because of Johnny, who put his hand in a lawnmower, we must eradicate all lawnmowers from being sold ever again. So you get the sense of, you know, you have to be careful with the because of and we must. So Congress is not always acting fast, and there's a purpose behind that. And that's one of the things you hear in the arguments all the time. Congress is not acting fast enough. We need this now. It has to be done now. And the constitutional requirements were put in place by our founders because they understand human nature. Okay? They understand acting out of fear or in states of total upcries because of an incident that was hurtful, demeaning, seems unconstitutional, so forth and so on. So that's why there is that in place, because there has to be time to debate, to discuss, to calm down in some instances, and let cool heads prevail. And they always say the system is not working, but ask yourself why. Why is it not working? Well, you have to have commonality. When you have so much division, so much points that you can't even discuss, so many things where it's becoming not even an open discussion, a civil discussion, but it's just arguing for power. And that's why the system's not working. We've moved away from principles and have become a government that strictly is looking for quick results, satisfying free stuff, and just not even doing the job that elected officials were originally intended to do at the founding. When you have a person who is the third in line for president, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, saying we have to pass the bill to find out what's in the bill, they're not doing their jobs. Your job is to read the bill, debate the bill, not stuff it with pork, be physically conservative, and understand that there is a limited supply to anybody who would want to give you credit, even to the United States government, if you're overspending and your GDP is 100% of your gross domestic product surpasses your spending. So right now, our gross domestic product is low because of COVID, and there's been changes in that. And so less money is going to be coming in, so you can't say, let's spend more. Can we not pay the debt? Yes. Is it constitutional to do that? No. That's the first thing it says. It's in the Constitution, in the Articles, saying the Treasury must pay all the debt service first. Money left over goes to other programs, so, which means that Congress would probably have to, or the executive branch, determine who gets the money that's left over after paying the debt service. So it's still boils down to back to that acronym of LIFT. So let's go over something that I think is kind of interesting as to why we're in this problem now. And we understand that prior to the nation's founding, things were done a certain way. And this is how they were done throughout Europe. And even while we were here, we were under this same principle. It was basically the following. God was first king, and then government, and then landowners. And then you were at the last part of the puzzle. What I mean by that is when you look at most of history of Europe and beginnings of the United States, there's a lot of differences and how the differences were created and occurred. Back then, there was a great deal amount of God, because God and king, or really the religious entities, which was mainly the belief in God, and the king believed he was second to God, allowing for landowners who were loyal to him and who he said, I'll grant you this privilege, had other people work the land with no real benefit. They didn't own it. They would still be taxed for their work, and they may be able to get something out of it, but that was not always the case either. So you were the last person in that line. And that's why when the King James Version Bible was out, it had to be created by a king. But the original Bible that was written before the King James Version was the Geneva Bible. Why was that written, and why was it so hard to get for some individuals? Many reasons, but let's put this one main reason. It gave references on the various discussion points in the Bible, written in the language of the people, not held by any group, so that you had to trust what they were telling you. And it was not written in a language where you had to be taught the language, as the kings were usually taught to read, write in the various languages, even their own language, and Latin, because that was the original Bible's making. The landowners may have been able to do the same thing and read Latin, but sometimes they didn't. It just depended upon how they were able to be educated in time and how they became across owning the land and how much favor they had with the king. And everybody else was left out again. So it's the government's job now in the United States to protect your rights. So the new way of doing it when the Constitution was written, because we first had to declare our freedoms, which that's the mission statement, the Declaration of Independence, and then we had to write the Constitution, which came afterwards when we were freed after the Revolutionary War. The way the founders saw it is God first, then you, and government must protect the rights of the people. So the government was last now. They weren't the first thing to say anything, and there was no king in between there. It was God, you, government. So I want you to understand that. Let me rephrase that. God, you, and the government. The government's supposed to be holden to you, the people. And that was the great experiment. Can the people hold the government accountable? But we're not doing that anymore in the United States. It seems like the government wants to hold the people accountable or go back to the old mannerisms of European style of government, where it's really going to be king, government, maybe we'll let you have God, and you. They want to flip the script. So when we look at the founding, we got to go back to the original pillars of the founding for this nation. At Plymouth, when the Pilgrims landed, they had the Geneva Bible. That was the first great pillar. Their belief that people had to be free, had to work together, and they did do that. They didn't set out to do anything to steal land or anything, because you have to understand the people that were indigenous at the time. You can sit there and proclaim all these great things and we took advantage of them and all that, but they didn't think they didn't understand ownership, and they didn't believe they owned it, because it was all owned by God, by nature. It was nature stuff. So the indigenous people had that understanding of the time. And then when the Pilgrims had problems, they worked with the Pilgrims. And they even taught the Pilgrims things that they didn't know when they came here, because of it being a new land, having to be developed, and so forth and so on. But they used the Bible, and they even taught the Indians, because it was their mission also, according to the Bible, to make disciples of all people, of all nations. So they were just doing what they knew, and the Indians were doing what they knew. No malice between either party. Afterwards, over time, more colonies came in. You have Jamestown, 1619, and they did their own version of what they wanted to run as a colony. And they were more interested in self and not necessarily working with the natives or the people. And that's your splinter colony. The colony that was not what I would say fully righteous or God-fearing in some aspects. Because of some of the decisions that they made were based on just themselves and wanting to be more of a nature's greed instinct, you know, for more self than anything else, not in love and cooperation and so forth and so on. And in some aspects, they wanted kind of like almost at first, a socialism type of environment and other things that were playing into that. So, and there were other colonies that did other experiments too. That's why it was called the Great Experiment. You know, when you came as a colony, you knew it was going to be a rough life and not one of ease. And many of them came over for religious reasons, to promote the religion and faith. And that's how the nation grew. Reformations occurred too in Europe and in the United States around the same time. So what happened was, then you had an idea that the citizens were responsible. That's your second pillar. They were responsible for the community and the workings of the community. They knew that they had to be, because you could not survive simply on your own, only sometimes. depending upon where in the colonies you lived, the resources available, and also what you could grow and not grow. So you could try to do it on your own, but you may not survive the winter. Also, you may not be so well stocked for medicines and other things that you may need during the time period. So the two pillars or the two foundation principles at the beginning were the Bible and responsible citizens, individuals who knew that working together, and some people didn't want to work with you, but that didn't mean that out of Christian love, they wouldn't get help. Because you always have those outliers. After a while, they felt taxation was wrong. They declared to the king, and that's where we get the Declaration of Independence. That's your third foundational pillar. Your mission statement. All we were asking for is this. Fought a war, wrote the Constitution of the United States, but even that wasn't enough. Because in that Constitution, they had to have something for the people. Because they knew that a government, even if it had certain things it could not do, the people had to know what their rights were and what the government's rights were. So you have a constitution, and then they had the formation of the Bill of Rights. They started out with just 10 amendments, and we know that that's not the case now. There are more than that now. But sometimes you could look at the first 10, and you can know what the government has the right to do in the first part, but the Bill of Rights is what the government has to protect. So you have the First Amendment, which is basically that the government cannot have an approved church. They can't force a religion on you. The government cannot stop free exercise of religion. They cannot abridge free speech or press. It allows for peaceful assembly. It allows for questioning the government. So those are the things in the First Amendment. Then you have the Second, right to bear arms and to defend yourself and your own property. That's a freedom granted to you that cannot be abridged or taken away. No government officers can be assigned to your home. What that means is that they can't say, well, we have these soldiers, they're staying with you, or as they used to do maybe in other countries, these special police are here, they're going to be here with you, living with you, just to find out if there's anything we need to arrest you on or report back to the government. And then you have the Fourth, which is freedom of your papers and person effects, you know, from being seized or searched. You know, no, you should have a warrant that specifies what they're looking for. The Sixth, which is speedy trial and right to face your accuser and call witnesses on both sides if there's an accuser and they have information. You have a right to a jury trial. You have a right to no cruel punishment or excessive bail. You have the right to others for yourself. These are rights that you hold as a person. Rights as a people that you basically have for yourself. And then you have, obviously, the state's rights. Things that the federal government is not authorized to do is left to the states. So we need to start discussing what the government can and can't do and discuss the principles and how they meet the rule of the... Just go into the 10th Amendments first. We can go in and look at the other ones. Justifiably thing to do sometimes. But the first 10 are truly the most important. Because if you would have been following the first 10, you may not have needed some of the other ones. And if you were following the rules of the Constitution that gives the government its operational mandates, you wouldn't have to continue to produce additional amendments. But if the people want that to happen, it has to happen. That's why you see a lot of people who are advocates for a new convention of states, because the government is getting totally out of control. The debt ceiling is an issue. We don't know how to physically be responsible anymore as citizens for what we bring in and what must go out. The government's made promises to the citizens so that when they retire, that they have a good retirement, but they get to change the rules all the time so that now it could be this, and in 3 or 5 years it could be this, and they keep changing the rules. You put money into the system, you should be able to get the money you put in, but there was a rule change that I don't agree with. And that is, it allowed for individuals who didn't pay into Social Security to have a private pension. But then there are some that worked, didn't pay into Social Security later, or may have done either or worked and still paid into the private pension that didn't pay into Social Security, and then come to know you're planning your retirement. And so now the laws basically, well, you planned too much. You took personal responsibility. We're not going to give you your money. So they're going to offset an individual's pension by the pension that they would receive from that entity that didn't pay into Social Security, as no taxes paid to Social Security for the years that they worked, and they may have earned 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever it was for those years, didn't pay into Social Security, and they paid maybe into Medicare, so they'll have Medicare, they'll have health care. But then they're planning on having Social Security pension and their pension, and it didn't work out that way because it's offset. They changed the rules. So is that something that they should be able to do? That's why we have to look at Lyft and the rights that are specified in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We can go over many topics and go bring it back to that and the Lyft method. And that's going to help you as a person who runs for office, because a lot of people don't want to run for office. But when they run, they should have a general knowledge of what their responsibilities are, especially if they take an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. But then the policies and things that they're passing contradict every aspect of the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. Do we truly need a two-party system? No. I would say if we really want to get the politicians to listen, everybody go and do this one thing. Switch to being an independent. Because if they don't know what party you belong to, they're going to fight to win you over. But then that's where you have to start looking at their policies. Will they defend the Constitution? Will they leave a nation to posterity? Or will they destroy it and create so much anarchy, unrest, and turmoil that you don't even know if your posterity will be around to see anything because of all the unrest that they are creating? And we do have to remember as citizens, there are individuals that will create unrest because they don't like the fact that other nations have had constitutions every 17 years or even less than that in some cases because of revolts and turnovers in governmental authority. And we, the United States, have remained under the same constitution for 200 years. We are in a class of our own. Why do you think people decide to come here? But when they come here, if we don't teach them Lyft, Constitution, Declaration is important, and you have to put on the National Archives a warning that those documents are detrimental and may be harmful. There's a problem. Because you're basically telling me that, like the foundations, the cornerstones of a house, you can't build a house with one brick. You have to have four corners and go from there to build a foundation. The four corners of our foundation were laid. And they basically are what I outlined. It was the Bible, responsible citizens, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, which limited the government of the people. So I'm going to go ahead and continue this topic again, but not today. I want you to just think about what I'm saying. So I'm going to say my farewells. Thank you for listening. And say, have a blessed day. And remember that we as a people have a responsibility. So I want to thank you again to all my listeners. May the Lord go with you as your guide, at your side, as your constant companion, behind you to protect you from whatever is to come. And always remember, John 3:13. How do you know, man?